Hello, a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and today's episode we will be taking up the subject of omnipotent, omniscient, but not omnipresent. These are the titles of God. In this series, we look at a variety of subjects surrounding spirituality. We ask you, the viewer, to bear an open mind. We want you to look into your mind and heart and ask yourself some life-changing questions as to: are you comfortable with your own identity? Do you wish to know yourself better and deeper? Do you wish to have a more meaningful relationship with God? To answer all of these and more questions, especially on today's topic, I'd like to introduce you to Sister Denise, who has been an experienced practitioner of Raj Yoga meditation for many years. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Sister Denise, let's start with these definitions of these rather long words. Although it's been around for many years, there are a few who do not are not familiar with the Latin from which these words originate.
So omniscient means the one who knows everything. And omnipotent means the one who is having all power, so almighty. And you can also look at that as having all the powers. And in Raj Yoga, we look at eight powers. And if you look at God as having all of those eight powers, that's an interesting angle of meditation. But people generally think God being the all-powerful, that means he can do what he wants, which means anything I can think of, he can do. But then there has to be a little bit more investigation into how God uses his power, what does he do, what does he not do, this kind of thing. Now, they also use the word omnipresent, which means present everywhere. And here we're saying that that is probably an erroneous term, because where is someone or something somewhere? What is everywhere? I don't really think it's possible for there to be anything that's everywhere, because there's more than one thing, and where one thing is, then another thing isn't. So the concept of omnipresence may not be quite as easy to substantiate, and may be quite easy to deconstruct. So we'll have a look at how these words actually pan out in reality.
Mr. Denise, okay, let's start with the aspect of omnipresence. There are many who keep God in their heart all the time. And there is the feeling, wherever I am, you are with me.
Definitely.
Okay, so some people who are not as adept at language as someone like you would call that omnipresence. I've also heard it said, wherever I look, I see you, because of holding God in your heart. And so they cross that line into calling him omnipresent, and that's become a term that's attached to the Supreme Soul.
Definitely, and in Christianity, they use the term immanent and transcendent to refer to omnipresence. And that term is much more sort of philosophical and subtle. Immanent means everywhere, wherever, but transcendent means not not material, not physical, because people do say, well, God is spirit, so not matter. And so I think that a lot of people found that a very satisfying approach. But still, I would say that we need to look at it further. You know, because, okay, if I say, okay, God is always with me, or if God says to me, I'm always with you. Okay, but then what about my next door neighbor? May not be with him or her. So, I mean, I can experience God wherever I look, but that's where I look. And I can also look some places and God is not, you know. So I think actually this feeling of God being present wherever you are is really more of a feeling than a fact or a reality.
Okay, I think that's a very important distinction to make. And Sister Denise, when one uses that term for God, omnipresent, is any karma attached to it?
I think there is a karma attached to it because there are implications. You know, is God present where in some deep dungeon someone is torturing someone? Can God torture? Can God get tortured? You know, what is that? Is that indicative of God? So one of the problems with the implications of God being everywhere is that God is all events that are happening. And definitely I think we would say that God is a someone, not a human, not anyone ordinary by any means, not terrestrial, but there are attributes of God which are quite widely accepted, like God is truth, God is beauty, God is love, God is peace, all these very positive qualities. So that whenever there is something going on in the human world or in the natural world that is not having these qualities, why would you say that that is also God? Because it makes God meaningless, actually. So if you're going to speak about God in such a way that the greatness of God is completely diminished, then that becomes an insult. And then that becomes a negative karma between the person and God, mm-hmm. which causes that person to be very distant from God, which is not a good thing.
Okay, so people consider it to be praise. I think that's where the problem comes in, because when a devotee calls God omnipresent, they think, the devotee thinks, I'm praising God. But yet, you just explained that the converse is true.
Yes. So the devotee may be not thinking things very clearly or not thinking it through. A lot of devotees do subscribe to blind faith. And I think if you accept something blindly without thinking it through, you might be in danger of saying something, thinking something, or advocating something which is absolutely the opposite of what you think you're advocating. So in that sense, I think it's very advantageous to, you know, we were talking on another occasion of the philosophical pain. So there is a that there has to be, even in the spiritual realm, and there has to be logic, there has to be coherence, everything has to be consistent. And if it doesn't make sense, then, you know, why are you taking it on board?
Sister Denise, I think that's extremely important, because the pattern is when we are born into a family that practices a certain religion, we absorb it. And what you just shared with the viewer is that it's necessary to apply one's mind to it and to ask yourself some important questions about it, rather than just being a sponge.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's extremely crucial in one's relationship to God.
Then you have a problem, and that is that if you question it, the religious authorities can take it upon themselves to punish you, because how dare you question their authority? But then you're left with either I accept something that doesn't make sense, which I'm not going to accept, or I keep quiet but I still have my thoughts.
Okay. So faith is good, but blind faith, not good.
The problem is that it doesn't make sense. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who are absolutely delighted to take on board things that are not consistent, not coherent, and there's just many, many people who would rather not think things through. But those people who do need everything to be clear and coherent, they have a problem with religion, any religion that gives an article of faith which cannot be explained. And that really applies pretty much across the board to all the religions. And I think this is why people, you may say the more intellectual people who need everything to be clear, either they compartmentalize their intellects and say, you know, we're going to accept religion even though it doesn't make sense because of some other reasons. It's good, it's socially necessary, it's politically correct, whatever. You don't think about it. And then you use your calculating mind for calculations. And you just have a wall between the two. And there's a lot of people who do that. Mm. But still, there are some who say, I'm not able to do that because my inner world doesn't need to have, you know, the Berlin Wall in between this country and that country because we're all one thing.
So, Sister Denise, a discerning intellect is not disrespectful.
No.
Okay, because there are many who believe that if even if you're considered disrespectful by the religious leaders, you are being disrespectful towards God if you question faith. There's that deeply held belief.
Oh, that's a big problem because the religious leaders are putting themselves in between you and God. And saying, we represent God, and, you know, you don't have direct access.
Okay.
You see, and I think if you say, okay, I don't have direct access, but I'm a child of God, so any child of the president of the corporation has direct access.
I see. Okay. That makes sense.
You know, you feel...
Well said. Call me.
Yeah.
Okay, so Denise, let's shift on from omnipresence to the other two titles. Mm. Omnipotent. This title scares people. On the one hand, we'd like to know that there's an all-powerful one whose hand we can grab when adversity strikes.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I'll call on you when I'm in trouble. Do I want to sit and have a cup of coffee with you? I think not, because it kind of scare me. So I'd want to keep a distance. How do you, while knowing God is the all-powerful one, how do you engage with such a awe-inspiring personality? And what would be his interest in, you know, little old me?
Well, right. No, I think that we need to really think about what sort of power we're talking about here. And it has been discussed and debated for centuries and interpreted in many different ways. Usually, power is associated with power to kill, power to destroy, power to punish, power to make a dead person alive again, power to perform a miracle, you know, power to do scary things. But I think power is that, but then there's a lot of other things as well. God's power is an energy which, you know, a devotee will occasionally address God and say, give me strength. In other words, give me power. I need power so that I can function. I think you need power to perform right actions. So God has within his being such an energy that can empower all the disempowered people on the earth. That's a huge power. It's like a sort of electricity generating station, that kind of power.
I like that term, disempowered people, because we don't normally see ourselves like that, even though we have reached that condition.
Well, usually people think of themselves or each other as bad, whereas I look at it as, you know, they don't have the power, because to be good, you need a lot of power. It doesn't take power to be bad. It takes weakness.
Sure. Is it any one of those? Those are one of those lines that are still reverberating, and I feel pinned. It takes power to be good, and it takes no power to be bad. Yeah, that's not well known.
No.
Okay, that's one of those bumper stickers. Okay, but knowing this, how do we put this into practice? And by that I mean engage with someone, the one, who has this title.
Well, I think this is the problem. People are weak and they are afraid of God because their own weakness has made them perform weak actions, which makes them feel very ashamed in front of God. And a lot of religions talk about the need to have fear of God, as if the only way that you can do right things is if you're afraid of punishment, which I don't think is a very good motivating factor. You know, usually what I found is if you're afraid, you put the blame on somebody else. That's the best way to deal with being afraid.
And also, you're attracted, you're pulled to transgress.
Yes, definitely.
You're pulled. It's like a reverse attraction.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think that, you know, the way people describe the power of God is in these scary, punishing type of terms. Which means probably that, you know, people haven't really sat with God and said, okay, I want to understand your power. And another thing is that God gives power to people. And if you have power in your hands, what they say about power is power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Of course, God has absolute power but is not corrupt. So if power is in the hands of a person and that person is capable of being corrupted, then, you know, God is not going to give them power. So I think God wants to give power to people but needs those people to be pure. So there's a whole process of purification. So part of God's power is the power to purify the impure. That's a huge power, you know. There are some technical machines which can remove impurities, and they require huge amounts of electricity and so on. So it is a power when you're removing impurities from rocks or from chemicals or whatever. But to remove impurities from souls, that's an extraordinary power, which I think a human being is very hard put to it to understand. You know, this would be the kind of thing that God would have to explain to a human being. So I think that the people say, okay, God is omnipotent, but they don't really know what that means. So we need to think about it.
So, Sister Denise, having understood what you just said about the one who has all of this power, you're saying that whilst knowing this, one can still have a connection with him, and whether you realize it or not, there is a connection with him?
I don't think you can stand in front of omnipotent God if you have an ego. Because of the fear factor. But if you are having absolute love for God, you're not afraid. And I think your love for God causes you to love what God stands for, which is purity, goodness, and that you would not have a whole bunch of stuff on your conscience. And if you do have a few things, you go in front of God in humility that God, and honesty that, you know, these are my sins, and by the way, I love you, and I need to understand you, you know. So I mean, that's not most people. Most people have stuff on their conscience which really makes them afraid of God the Almighty.
And Sister Denise, most people come to God with a long list of requests.
Well, of course, God has the power to fulfill them, but then will He?
Yeah, I don't know what the quality of your relationship can be like if you're saying, please give me this, please give me this, please, you know, and from asking, desperation sets in when you don't get.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Denise, I'm going to bring today's episode to a close, but because it's been so riveting, you and I will meet again for part two of O-O and N-O. Okay, so, but thank you. This has been very rich and very spiritually fulfilling. So, don't go away, because we will come back right now. So thank you for joining us. This has been an extremely riveting half an hour. These titles of God, the three titles of God, exist in major religions across the globe, but as you heard from what Sister Denise has just shared, that God is highly misunderstood. And this is not news to a lot of us, because as Sister Denise shared in a previous episode, we do not understand who we are, so naturally we don't understand fully who God is. So I will say goodbye to you, the viewer, right now, but I will invite you to join us for Omniscient, Omnipotent, and Not Omnipresent, Part 2. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to see you soon.